Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. If you've ever had the sinking suspicion that there are unseen spiritual forces working against you, you're going to want to stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a special 7-session DVD series and workbook from Pastor Rick called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle Against Temptation. And you can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called When Your World Falls Apart.
God can handle your temper tantrums, and He's not going to love you any less, because He can handle your temper tantrums. He is God, and if an imperfect dad can do that, certainly a perfect Heavenly Father can. Now, once I've let it all out, and I've kind of spiritually vomited, blah. Did you like that? Then you go to the second step. And the second step is I must turn my focus from my pain to God's love. I must turn my focus from my pain, my problem, my pressure, my difficulty to God's love. Now, I may be ticked off at God. I may be mad at God. I may be railing and raging against God, but I still need to turn and realize that He still loves me no matter what. And as long as I got my mind on my pain, it's not going to solve anything. In verses 19 down to verse 26, Jeremiah says this, the thought of my pain, and by the way, we've talked about this now for several weeks, it always starts in your mind. We're in this battle called the invisible war, and whether you're battling yourself or you're battling the world around you in circumstances or you're battling Satan, it always starts in your mind. It's a mental war. The thought of my pain and my homelessness is bitter poison. He goes, it makes me really want to spit. It's bitter poison. And then he says, now I think of it constantly and my spirit is depressed. Well, duh, it's because you're thinking of it constantly. Now he says here, the thought of my pain and creates bitter poison. Bitterness is a poison that hurts you. Your bitterness isn't hurting somebody else. The person you're bitter against, the person you're resentful against, the person you've got a grudge against, the person you dislike, they're not even thinking about you. The bitterness is only making you miserable. It is a self-inflicted wound. It is a bitter poison, and that poison will eat you up. He says, so it's a bitter poison when I'm thinking, this is not fair, this is not fair, this is not fair. But he says, I still think of it constantly. Okay, great. You think of it constantly. How's that working for you, Jeremiah? Is that making you happy? Making you positive? Is that causing peace in your life? He goes, no, my spirit is depressed. You're not going to get over your depression till you stop being bitter. You're not going to get over your depression until you let it go. You're not going to stop being depressed until you learn to forgive, until you let it go. Bitterness keeps you caught in your own pain, and that creates depression. So he says, the longer I think about it, the more depressed I get. Well, simple, change the way you think. Now he says, yet, here's the switch where he turns his focus from his pain to God's love, yet hope returns. How does hope return? When I've lost everything, when my world's falling apart, how does hope return? Hope returns when I remember this one thing. The Lord's unfailing love and His mercy still continue. They're as fresh as the morning. They're as sure as the sunrise. The Lord is all I have. Lord is all I have, so in Him I put my hope. Now he says, first off, the Lord's unfailing love and mercy, it's still there. Did you know that even when I'm railing against God, He's still loving me? That's amazing. God, I'm telling you how life is terrible right now, but you still love me. And the one thing I can count on is your love is unfailing, and it's as fresh as the morning, and it's as sure as the sunrise. And I say, the Lord is all I need. It's all I have. So I put in him my hope. You don't know God is all you need until God is all you've got. So sometimes God allows you to lose everything, and then you realize, man, all I've got is God. And then you realize, that's all I need. If you got God, he's all you need, because he's going to take care of everything else. So I turned my focus from my pain to God's love. Look at this next verse. Down in verse 31, he says this, chapter 3, the Lord is merciful, and he won't reject us forever. He may bring us sorrow, but his love for us is, read it with me, sure and strong. Underline that. Circle it. His love for us is sure and strong. Even in the middle of my pain, his love for us is sure and strong. He takes no pleasure in causing us grief or pain. Some people think God is some cosmic killjoy, that he's some meanie up in the sky, some universal dictator who just wants to make your life miserable. And that every time he looks down and he sees you having a little fun, he wants to say, hey, stop that. Stop having fun. And when you're smiling, he says, wipe that smile off your face. That's not God, that's your dad. And a lot of people confuse God with their overbearing father or their overbearing mother. God is not your mother. God is not like your father. God is God. So don't take some imperfect picture of your parent who might have been stringent or strict and think that that's what God is. The Bible says he takes no pleasure. He gets no thrills. He doesn't get his kicks, his jollies out of making your life miserable. When you're going through pain, what is God doing? He's grieving with you. When you're going through loss, what is God doing with you? He's grieving with you. He takes no pleasure. It's not sadistic in any way. So what do? I unload all my frustration on God. And then even though I'm mad at him, I remind myself of how much he loves me. And I focus off of my pain and my problem, and I focus on God's love. Now, the next thing you need to do in rebuilding your life after it's fallen apart is in the next verse, verse 28, and it's this. I need to get alone with God and wait. Get alone with God and wait. This is the third step in the rebuilding process after a crisis, a tragedy, or a major loss. Get alone with God and wait. Now, waiting before God is a spiritual discipline, a spiritual habit, a spiritual skill, and you must learn how to wait before God or you're going to be stressed out most of your life. I can always tell who knows how to wait on God and who doesn't. People who don't know how to wait on God are anxious all the time. They don't know how to let it go. They're always, always, always anxious. You have to wait on God. It is the number one de-stressor in your life. Now, what does it mean to wait on God? It means you sit down and shut up. It means you be quiet. You wait. You don't say anything. You don't ask anything. You just be quiet and you listen. And you have to make time with God every day. We call it a quiet time, where you just sit down and be quiet. Now, yes, you're going to read your Bible a little bit later and you're going to pray a little bit later, but I'm talking about literally just being quiet. Most of you have never sat in silence for 10 minutes simply waiting on God. It will revolutionize the level of stress in your life if you'll learn to do this. Lamentations 3, verse 28, Jeremiah says this. I love it in the message. When life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself. Enter the silence. Bow in prayer. Don't ask questions. Wait. Wait for hope to appear. The reason you feel hopeless is you're not waiting for hope to appear. Now, did you know that God wants to talk to you? He's trying to talk to you all the time. You say, I never have God talk to me. It's because all your circuits are busy. He calls you and you're on another line. You're listening to the iPod, iPad, radio, TV. You're talking to somebody else. Your life is very seldom quiet. And God can't get through. All the circuits are busy. In order to focus on God and to get alone with God and wait, you're going to have to eliminate some distractions in your life. Notice it says there, enter the silence. Circle that. Enter the silence. What does that mean? Get in a receptive mood. It means to say, God, I want to hear you. I'm eager, I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm able, I'm teachable. And you enter the silence. Jesus taught the very same thing Jeremiah is recommending here in this chapter. Jesus taught it in the Sermon on the Mount. Here's what he said, Matthew chapter 6. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. In other words, go off in secret. Role play before God. He says, you know, don't be trying to pray the prayers where you're trying to impress everybody else. Just get off by yourself and be there as simply and as honest as you can. Just whatever you can manage, just get as authentic as you can manage. And the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense God's grace. That ain't gonna happen unless you're quiet. You got to be quiet.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Every day, there's a spiritual war raging all around you. In order to effectively fight this war, you need to be equipped with a knowledge of the tactics Satan will use to try to trap you. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation DVD Study Kit. In this 7-session Bible study, Pastor Rick teaches how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to influence us: passions, possessions, and position. If you expect to win the battle against temptation, it is critical that you know how to fight the predictable ways that Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation Study Kit comes with 1 7-session DVD and workbook. This Bible study is great for individual or small group use, and it's yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift today. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or 800-600-5004. Thank you so much for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
Now, I want to challenge you to make a commitment for the next 7 days. That you'll say, God, for the next 7 days, I'm going to spend 10 minutes in silence with you every day. And you can read your Bible after that. You can pray after that. I'm talking about just sitting in silence for 10 minutes. And you just say, God, is there anything you want to say to me? And you be quiet. You wait on God. You will be amazed at the strength that you will gain from this. After you have been quiet, if you want to read the book of Psalms, that's a good place to start. If you'd like some devotional material, I write a daily devotional called The Daily Hope. It's a daily devotional that'll encourage you, a little scripture and thought about that. But notice it says the focus shifts and you actually start slowing down. Have you noticed that life always goes into slow motion when you're in a waiting room? Have you noticed how time slows down when you're in a waiting room? It doesn't go fast. You're waiting on doctor. Has it only been 5 minutes? When you're waiting, time slows down. You know how to make it go slower? Go to a hospital waiting room and wait there, and it really slows down. You don't know how to make it even slower than that? Go to a funeral home waiting room. You know what? That's a good thing. That is a good thing. To slow down, because your life runs at such high RPMs all the time. You don't ever slow down. You don't ever be quiet. So the focus can't shift. Now notice what Jeremiah says in the next verse, verse 25. The Lord is good to everyone who trusts in him. So it is best for us to wait in patience, to wait for him to save us. Wait in patience, wait, circle the word wait both those times. He's talking about the importance of waiting. He's saying before you go out and try to solve all the problems yourself, before you go out and try to rebuild your life on your own, you need to just sit down and wait. And wait on God to save you. We've all seen these war movies, military battles, where the good guys are outnumbered 10 to 1 by the enemy, and the enemy is marching up with their guns or their bows and arrows, and they're coming up to face a much inferior crowd. You don't have as many bullets and you don't have as many arrows. And the wise general or the leader says, you guys, you don't fire until I tell you. Braveheart does this, a lot of guys. Don't, you don't fire until I say. That famous William Preston said it at the Battle of Bunker Hill. He said, don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes. In other words, we're not gonna waste bullets that are gonna miss. And so the enemy is marching, and the enemy is getting closer and closer and closer, and they're outnumbering you 10 to 1 and closer and closer, and your leader is saying, wait, 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 don't shoot, wait. And you're going, they're getting awful close, boss. The enemy's coming in, and you're aiming at them, and they're 10 more than you, for every one of you. And the boss is saying, wait, wait, wait. And finally, Braveheart says, now. Or Tom Cruise in The Last Samurai says, now. Or in a dozen other movies you've seen, now. And then, and the right timing, victory is assured. You will lose the battle if you do it on your time. The only way you're gonna win this battle in life is do it on God's time. God's timing is perfect, and he's telling you to wait. Wait on me. Now, the next thing God tells you to do, once you're saying, okay, I'm ready, I'm waiting, then while you're waiting, I change the things that I can change. That's the fourth thing Jeremiah tells us to do. Change the things that I can change. Now, let me make this clear. There are a lot of things in your life you cannot change, and you will never be able to change them. You're never gonna be able to change your past. You're never gonna be able to change who your parents were. You're never gonna be able to change the natural gifts that you were given by God or the ones you don't have. There are a lot of things in your life you can't change. If you have a certain handicap or you have a certain, you lose a loved one, you can't change that. You've lost that loved one. A lot of things in life you cannot change. And the only way to overcome some things in life is to simply accept them. Accept them. This is the principle of submission. This is the principle of surrender. This is the principle of acceptance. Peace comes when I accept the things in my life that cannot be changed. If I keep fighting about them the rest of my life and keep saying to God, it's not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair, you're just gonna make yourself miserable. I must accept the things that cannot be changed. Faith is facing the facts without being discouraged by them. Yeah, it's bad, but I'm not gonna be discouraged by it. But while I accept the things that can't be changed, I do change the things that can be changed. Okay, what can be changed? Your life has fallen apart. Somebody's walked out of your life. Somebody's died. You've lost your job. You're not getting it back. What? Those can't be changed. What can you change? I'll tell you what you can change. You. You can change you. You cannot change anybody else. So quit trying to change them. You can't change your husband. You can't change your wife. You can't change your boss. You can't change anybody. The only person you can change is you. So you start working on you. What can I change in me? How can I be better, not bitter, as my world has fallen apart? Now, this is gonna require some honest, gut-level self-evaluation. And you're gonna need to do an inventory of your life. You're gonna need to do a relational inventory. Say, How is my relationship to God? An honest evaluation. How is my relationship to my husband, to my wife? How is my relationship to my kids? How is my relationship to my coworkers at work? You do a relational inventory. You do a moral inventory. What are the habits and the hurts and the hangups that are messing up my life? What are the sins, the persistent things that keep bringing me down? You do a moral inventory. You do an honest evaluation of your life so you can change the things that can be changed. You say, what's wrong in my life that I can change? Jeremiah says this in verse 40. He says, let us examine our ways. That's an inventory. And test them and return to the Lord. Repent, to return, to change my mind. Let us examine our ways and repent. You know, about, at least 35 years ago, I wrote a little personal evaluation thing. I made my own, and I called it Heart Cleansing for Personal Renewal. And I made a list of key areas in my life, my relationships to others, my priorities, attitudes, integrity, mind, money, possessions, body, walking in faith, family, mission, all these things. And at least once a year, I'll pull this out and I read through these questions and I ask myself the tough questions about life. Why? The Bible says, let us do a personal inventory, examine our ways and test them. You need to learn to do an evaluation of yourself. Now, when you start doing this step four, change what I can change, and you look at your life, you're gonna realize there's a lot of unresolved emotions in me.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, every day, there's a spiritual war raging all around you. In order to effectively fight this war, you need to be equipped with knowledge of the tactics Satan will use to try to trap you. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the Invisible War, winning the Battle of Temptation DVD study kit. In this 7-session Bible study, Pastor Rick teaches how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to influence us. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, we all face temptations every day. It's a spiritual battle that takes place inside us, and it makes us vulnerable, particularly if we don't know how to fight it. To overcome temptation, it is absolutely essential that you know the tactics that Satan uses to trip us up. And it's vital to learn the biblical defenses that God gives us. He has told us in His Word how to handle and how to manage the attacks of Satan. Now, in order to help you learn how to respond to the predictable patterns that Satan uses to tempt you, I've created a study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. This kit, The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, includes a DVD with 7 different sessions and a simple booklet that'll help you learn how to overcome and defeat temptation in your life. You really need this. In the series, I will teach you the 3 kinds of temptation, God's antidote to temptation, and even how to avoid temptation in the first place. It is a study guide that you can use by yourself, but you'll actually get more out of it if you'll gather a small group of friends together and study it together as a small group. Now, I want to send you the Invisible War, Winning the Battle for Temptation study kit to say thanks for your support of Daily Hope with your financial gift. You know, we can't do this without you. And your generosity helps us take the hope of Christ into places all around the world and now to places that have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. Thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope.
Call 800-600-5004 to get this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.